Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We just spoke to Doug House. He is the Illinois Democratic County Chairs Association chairman, and talked to him about Democrat Day at the fair. And of course, the day before, on Wednesday, it was Republican Day at the state fair, and Governor Rauner's campaign has put together a brief highlight reel of the GOP governor's performance at the agriculture director's lawn at the fairgrounds.
We're here because we're fighting for what's right and what's just and what's good and for a better future for our children and our grandchildren. Faith, family, hard work, love of God, love of country, giving back in our communities, belief in free enterprise, belief in education and choice in education, belief in a better future, that's what Republicans are all about. This one is the most important election of my lifetime. Lower taxes, more jobs, fighting corruption with term limits. That's the winning message.
And that's Governor Rauner from the Illinois State Fair. And to elaborate on what he calls that winning message, I'm happy to have State Representative Tom Demmer from Dixon on the line. He is the Deputy State House Republican Leader. Tom, thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning, Rick. Glad to talk to you.
I didn't see you at the State Fair. I'm not sure if you were there or not, but a very good turnout. And also of more of the traditional way of doing things by going out to the fairgrounds and having kind of a rally of candidates. I just had Doug House on from the Democratic County Chairs. How do Republicans counter what everybody talks about as this blue wave?
Well, look, I think you have to look at what Governor Rauner's speech was at the fair. He talked about things that are not just Republican or Democratic issues. There are a lot of Democrats in Illinois who want to see property tax relief. There's a lot of Democrats who want to see term limits. Well, a lot of Democrats who want to see a better business climate, and better opportunities for Illinois families. So I think the question really comes down to, you know, not whether this is going to be some blue wave or red wave, but what are people in Illinois looking for and who's better positioned to give them a good shot going forward. And I think that's exactly what Governor Rauner talked about. He also did so in public at a rally. He spoke to the media beforehand. I mean, this is the traditional way of doing things, but it stands in contrast to sort of a managed rally that the Democrats had behind closed doors.
What is the? I mean, I know Dixon, Sterling, Rock Falls area. What is kind of the economic condition in an area like that these days, and how does that relate politically?
Well, there's a lot of agriculture industry in this area and also manufacturing. And, you know, in both of those areas, we've seen some kind of peaks and valleys. So I think what I hear a lot from people who, you know, employ folks in this area is they're looking for some better signs out of Springfield, some signs that they don't have to worry about the next tax increase coming down the pike, the sign that they don't have to worry about the state continuing to rack up unsustainable debt. These are the kind of things that if you're a business owner, you're thinking in the longer term, not just about, you know, what happens to you today or tomorrow. And, you know, over the last couple of decades, we've seen Democratic Party control the legislature that's spent way beyond our means, that's racked up debt that we'll be paying off for generations. And really, that sends the exact wrong message to people who are trying to do business here.
I know as much as the governor talks about wanting to bring the income tax rate back down, just the mere fact, though, that we have, you know, still roughly $7 billion in unpaid bills from the budget impasse, the fact of continued problems with the growing pension debt. I mean, is this the time that it's realistic to expect that we could actually reduce the state income tax rate?
Well, the most important thing, you know, there's been so much focus on what the income tax rate is, but nothing on how much economic activity we have going on in Illinois. So, yeah, if we make no changes to the state's business climate, if we just sit back and hope that jobs come to Illinois, hope that people decide to stop leaving the state, things aren't going to change. But we would be in a position to reduce the income tax rate if we make some of those changes that will bring new jobs here, that will make families move into Illinois instead of out of Illinois. That will grow the number of people who are paying taxes. That'll grow the amount of economic activity that are paying taxes, and that's what puts us in a position to reduce rates. So I think all the focus and sort of an obsessive focus on what's the rate going to be, and you hear J.B. Pritzker talking about he's running on the idea of another tax increase that would layer income tax bracket on bracket with each rate higher than the last. This is all this focus on income tax rates. What we need to look at is how much economic activity is happening here. How many people are working? What kind of jobs are we bringing in? What kind of new investments are we bringing in? And what it takes to get that done is real changes to the state's business climate.
You want to elaborate on what changes you're talking about as far as the business climate? I mean, workers' comp, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, property taxes, too, that's an ongoing issue that faces business owners. Workers' comp, I mean, that's something that the business community has been talking about for years. I mean, I don't think that we need to, it's not some magic formula. What we need to do is look at Illinois' competitiveness, compare it to other states, places where Illinois is a clear outlier, like, in the case of work comp. We need to just bring ourselves back into the norm, back into the median. That's the kind of thing that Illinois doesn't have to be the lowest cost place in the country, but we definitely need to be closer to the average.
What about as far as organized labor and those kinds of rules?
Well, there's I think a good opportunity to give communities a chance to choose those kind of rules for themselves. I mean, communities across the state, one size fits all might not apply to every community, but the fact of the matter is, if we make changes that make Illinois a more economically competitive state, we benefit everybody from organized labor to folks who are not part of a union. The more jobs in the state of Illinois, the better the climate is for everybody, the more people can benefit across the board.
Well, the reason I raise that is because, we hear the speaker respond that these are things that such as it's right to work for less, or these are things that would bring down the quality of life. That's the Democratic counter argument.
Oh, sure. And they can create a little slogan here or there, but what we have on our side is looking at states who are economically successful today, states where middle-class families have good-paying jobs, they have lower tax burdens, they have better outcomes for themselves and their families. Let's look across the country and say, what's different between Illinois today and the states that are really succeeding today? We need to try different things. We can't double down on a formula that hasn't been working well for Illinois and say, just because the same Democratic leaders have been in charge for the last 40 years doesn't mean those policies have to be the same for the next 40 years.
We're speaking with State Representative Tom Demmer from Dixon, Deputy State House Republican Leader. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We're speaking to Deputy State House Republican Leader Tom Demmer from Dixon. Representative, got an inquiry on the text line about issues about and something that's been talked about here in Chicago about rent control in Illinois and with the gentrification of neighborhoods, that kind of thing. I'm not sure I see that as something on the horizon. I know, believe Democratic Representative Will Guzzardi has been talking about that, but it's something I don't see going on in Illinois right now.
Yeah, there's been a couple of legislative proposals for that, but I think that there's quite a bit of evidence on the other side of things that says when government gets in the business of setting prices, things don't end up very well for consumers. So I think there's plenty of examples in other states where they've tried rent control and it hasn't been very successful. I'm not sure that we want to sort of exacerbate the problem by trying to have government in the business of controlling rent here in Illinois.
As we move into the more intensive part of the general election campaign season, I'm wondering, are we going to see the continued pattern of trying to link Democratic legislative candidates to Speaker Madigan? And the reason I ask that is, one, I believe the answer probably is yes, but two, just whether has that message already kind of done its job as far as obviously weakening or leading to a dislike of Mike Madigan among a good number of the general populace. But is that just kind of a retread argument at this point? Because we've heard it so many times on TV, in the mail, over and over again. Has it lost its effectiveness?
It certainly hasn't lost its effectiveness. And I think the reason is, you know, in most articles you read about Speaker Madigan, it talks about the tremendous amount of influence and control he has over legislation that, you know, ever even comes up for a vote. And, you know, I can personally attest to being a member of the House. A bill doesn't come to the floor of the House for a vote unless the Speaker allows it to. And so when you think about, you know, across the state, there's a lot of people, both Republicans and Democrats, who are frustrated with Mike Madigan's leadership, and they don't have a way of directly voting for him or not. And so the question really comes down to, if you're somebody in the state who thinks that, you know, 40 years in politics is long enough, or somebody who thinks, somebody who's been Speaker of the Illinois House longer than I've been alive, that it might be time to try something new. That's why, you know, we're encouraging people to ask your local state representative candidate who they're going to vote for Speaker. This is not something that a typical Illinoisan gets to see on their ballot. And so what we have to do is have those conversations with your state representative and say, look, are you going to continue to support somebody who's, you know, been involved in a lot of these problems and issues over the last 40 years? Or is it time to maybe take a new direction in the state?
But, Representative, assuming that Democrats, under their map that they drew, will control the General Assembly, both houses, even after this November election, and Madigan weren't to be there, the Democrats would still control. Would that really change anything by putting somebody new in the speakership?
Yeah, I think it would change things. And again, it comes back to, you know, over the last 30 years, there's been all these, you know, small moves, incremental moves that have consolidated power really behind one person in Speaker Madigan. What we should see in a normal functioning legislature is the ability for any legislator, any representative to offer a bill and to get a vote on that bill. So, you know, at the end of the day, there might be bills that get defeated by, you know, a Democratic majority. But, you know, I'll give you a great example. If we look at fair maps, independent redistricting reform, this is an issue that over a million Illinoisans signed a petition asking to put that on the ballot. This is one that has broad appeal to both Republicans and Democrats. Speaker Madigan's attorney sued to block that from going on the ballot, and no bill has ever been allowed to come to the House floor for a vote. A bill like that, if it came to the House floor, would have both Republicans and Democrats supporting it. Term limits would have both Republicans and Democrats supporting it. Those bills would pass, even in a Democratic-controlled legislature. And the issue here is that those bills never get a chance to see the light of day because the Speaker has consolidated power in his own person and not gone through the typical legislative means.
I want to talk, we started out in the first segment, we were talking about income taxes, and you point about tax rates versus economic activity. But as far as reforms, too, you talked about property tax relief. And I'm kind of curious how you can have both. When I talked to the regional school superintendent in Kankakee County, and we're talking about the over-reliance on property taxes to fund local schools, and the way to alleviate that is to have the state absorb more of the costs of funding public education. It seems kind of this battle of opposites here of who can pick up the slack. If you cut property taxes for local schools, the money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, so I think that's, again, maybe focusing on a little bit of the wrong thing. It's just sort of taking for granted that all these expenses will always exist. I think there's an opportunity for us to provide meaningful property tax relief to taxpayers through government consolidation efforts and through unfunded mandate relief. Both of those are issues that have a direct impact on property taxes, and they sort of change the question. So instead of just saying, which pocket are you going to pay this out of, it says, what can we do to actually bring down the cost of government? Illinois has more units of local government than any state by far. Real consolidation across the state could save taxpayers millions of dollars, provide property tax relief. We have page after page after page, especially when you look at schools, page after page of unfunded mandates that over the last decades the legislature has seen fit to require schools to do. If we provide some relief from that, that could save a significant amount of money for local school districts. So I think it's, you know, you've got to keep an eye on both sides of that ledger, you know, not just who's paying for it, but also what can we do to try to bring down some of those costs.
Well, and you spoke about consolidation of units of government. And of course, for decades, people talked about consolidation of school districts. And then you get into the turf battles there over, you know, the fact that schools are very much kind of the last symbolic identity in some of these small rural areas. Although the cost savings, you know, could be very great. But you also have issues like transportation, and do you want, you know, kids traveling on a bus for 45 minutes to an hour to go to school each way?
No, absolutely. But I think that overlooks the fact that, you know, the places that consolidation makes sense aren't necessarily places that are geographically far from each other. So I think individual school districts, you know, it should be their obligation to review what the status is for them. We have some places, you know, where they're not unit school districts, so they're covering the same geographic territory, but they're split into multiple school districts. You know, some places where, you know, maybe just sharing administrators across a couple different sites might make sense and help them reduce costs. And certainly, you know, none of these issues are ever easy. You know, never changing the status quo is easy. But if we continue to pit this idea that, well, that sounds difficult, so we're not going to do it, and instead we're just going to raise taxes, I think that's sort of what got us into this problem in the first place, and certainly not something that's going to be serving the people of Illinois very well.
That's State Representative Tom Demmer, the Deputy State House Republican Leader from Dixon, Illinois. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks a lot, Rick.